Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Interesting conversation taking place yesterday morning with Pritchard and Cecil. And it was basically framed around, you know, what should the Broncos do in the draft? Take a terrific defensive group, draft a top-tier defensive player, make it great, or just make the offense better because the offense has significantly more work to do. This is what part of that conversation sounded like.
If you do go offensively, you're passing up the opportunity for your defense to be elite.
Yes.
So that's the trade-off. Now, which one's greater? Which trade-off would you rather have, Cecil? Would you rather have the trade-off of getting an upgrade offensively and having a playmaker or somebody that can improve your offense that much? You're not going to be an elite offense, but you're going to improve over the opportunity to be an elite defense. Or do you select a player defensively, become an elite defense, and then get by with your offense?
Did you understand what how he was trying to frame it there?
I think so. Yeah, I think I got
like
it.
Our offense has been like...
Thank you for asking, though.
Sure,
yeah,
sure.
I appreciate that.
1 out of 10, what was our offense this past year?
Oh, wasn't as bad as 2 years ago. I don't know what the stats look like, but 2 years ago it was really, really bad. Last year it was just bad.
So I'm from really, really bad to just bad.
Right. From super duper bad to just super bad.
Gotcha.
No duper last year.
He lost the duper.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that. Interesting metric. Very advanced metric.
Yep. different. Yeah. I think at a different level.
Yeah.
Than most people,
Zach. Yeah. Okay. I hear you. That makes sense. Despite the running game being better, having a dynamic running back, despite Emmanuel being terrific for three quarters of the season, Cortland Sutton being a pretty good second receiver, it still just wasn't good enough. By NFL standards, just flat out was not good enough.
A passing game, just no explosive plays. No explosive plays.
I gave you a pushback on that because statistically there was explosive plays.
But there were?
Yeah, there was, but it felt like, you know what it felt like? A boxer trying to get by on haymakers. There wasn't enough of intermediate, like, success on a consistent basis, if that makes sense. But
doesn't.
Okay. But
I'll take your word for it.
What they were trying to, the conversation that they were trying to have is like, okay, let's just throw a number on the Broncos offense. They say it was a 5 last year out of 10. Do you try to make the offense a 6.5 out of 10 by drafting a TJ Hockenson at 10th overall? Or do you try to take a group defensively that's an 8 out of 10 and try to make it a 9.5 out of 10?
Right.
And the conversation evolved to, and I really liked the way that they did this, it was like, how do you try to replicate the Super Bowl 50 formula? Super Bowl 50 offensively is one of the worst offenses that have ever won a Super Bowl. But defensively, they're just so damn good that a 10 out of 10 and just a 5 of an offense is good enough.
Right.
And how you can sort of tinker with that by drafting an offensive player, but then your defense stays at an 8. So what's more advantageous, you know, at 10th overall?
This is what I would prefer out of the two. But hey, let's try to get our offense better, or let's try to go from, you know, really good to really great on defense. Give me that elite defense. Give me that great, great defense. That's what I would prefer. I think even if you make a nice stride offensively, you still will be below average, possibly. Give me that elite, elite defense. That can help that offense out. And with the coaching staff and Mike Munchak and company running that offense, hopefully that helps it make strides and gets it better. Upgraded the quarterback position. Hopefully, you know, we get something from Butt and Fumagalli, maybe. I would prefer, give me that elite-level defense because they can just keep you in things.
Sure.
I don't think the jump would be big enough for offensively to say, okay, they're going to win us football games. Elite-level defense can win you football games, and they can travel, and they can win you in the playoffs. You know, they can, hey, get on our back in the playoffs, and we saw it. So I would prefer for the Broncos situation here, like, hey, let's go elite level defense or let's go, you know, better offense. Give me that elite level defense.
It's an interesting conversation, and I don't know if there's a right or wrong answer. But it does feel like you could argue that the Broncos defense is one or two guys away from becoming elite again. Now, they were good last year, but they weren't elite. And it feels like with the addition of Kareem Jackson and Bryce Callahan in the secondary, if things work out with Chris Harris, you got Chubb in year two and Vic leading the group, and it feels like they're close again. But at the same time, you can't win games. The score can't be 0-0.
Right. Well, hopefully your defense gets you scoop, score, touchdown.
Right.
Pick six. I mean, you're
right. That's the plan, right?
Yeah. And hopefully, you know, Coach McMahon over there is, they have great special teams. But certainly, you need a competent offense. I think this offense is probably, you know, it seems like I say this every year because they're switching offensive coordinator every year. It's probably going to start slow. And hopefully, with what they have and the upgrades that they have made, it can be competent and they can make the plays when they need to be made. I think that's the thing here. If you have a really good defense or elite defense, just offensively make the plays when you need to make them late in football games. And if you do that, you have a chance to get in the playoffs. Find ways to take care of the football and either ice the game late in the fourth quarter or get yourself in field goal range or get yourself, you know, score a touchdown late. Make that last third down to ice. I mean, things like that offensively, if you can do that with a really great defense, you have a chance week in and week out. But certainly you got to go out there and be better than what we've seen.
And I don't know a reasonable mind that would disagree with that. But when we talk about, hey, an upgrade in offense is a tight end or another receiver, or we talk about trying to make this defense elite by grabbing a Devin White at 10, Peter King selected C. None of the above. Details next. Peter King hinted at who the Broncos will be taking at 10.
So bright.
See, you know that anytime you start playing.
My sweatshirt never fits so right.
Anytime you start this, we just lose him for the segment.
Get those hands up. Let's go.
So who is this?
Zach.
Oh, Zach Brown. Okay. They coming back around?
Yeah, Coorsville.
Oh, cool.
Again.
Cool.
It's Coors.
Yeah.
They're
cool.
Coming. Yep.
Wanted to go last year. Just didn't work out. Had a kid last summer.
Yeah, that kind of cramps the concert schedule.
It does.
Yeah, a little bit.
Selfish kid.
Unbelievable.
I am locked in for Mumford & Sons at one point.
Okay.
Fiddler's Green.
That'd be a good one.
Like to mix in one or two others. It used to be like a three-show minimum per summer for like a decade.
Right.
Just now, it's just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Could Peter King have hinted at who the Broncos are going to be taking at 10? This is so interesting to me, Stoke, because we talked a little bit about this with Nikki earlier in the show, that there is a larger assumption with folks here locally that John Elway's not taking a quarterback at 10. But yeah.
Ain't happening.
Well, okay, hold on.
That's it. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Ain't happening.
There you go. Again.
That's all I'm saying. Well, just don't say it. Just let me say it and just continue. Ain't happening.
Okay. Why are smart people who are tapped in, Todd McShay, in his 3.0 mock draft, had Drew Locke being taken by John? Peter King, in his Football Morning in America column, stated that he wouldn't be shocked if John Elway took Dwayne Haskins with the 10th pick. Why the divide?
I don't know.
Between folks here locally, I haven't seen a Cecil's mock draft or anyone else on this station saying, I think the Broncos are going to take Drew Locke outside of Woody Page. Save Woody. But I got
Todd McShay telling me that John's going to take Drew Lock, and I got Peter King, guys tapped in, saying he won't be surprised that if Dwayne Haskins falls to 10, that he wouldn't be shocked if John takes him.
I look at Peter and Woody, like, those guys are connected. They know people. So when they say something like that, you're like, oh, okay. You know, you kind of take a step back. I mean, Peter King is well-connected.
He's been around.
Yeah, very well-connected. So I don't know. I can't explain why you see those things from people on the outside. But John is a wild card. I don't think anybody can say John's going to do this or, oh, no, he won't take a quarterback for sure. I don't see it happening. But then again, if he did it, I would be surprised, but I wouldn't be like, oh, that's – can't believe John did that because it's John.
Last week, I can't remember what day. It was earlier in the week.
Well, you took a couple of days off at the end, so it definitely wasn't at the end of the week, so you weren't here. Go ahead.
So it was earlier in the week.
Yep.
And I sort of tried to bring some quarterback clarity. And I wasn't trying to talk you into something. And I'm not going to try to do that now. Let me ask you a couple yes or no questions. Do the Broncos have their 10-year franchise quarterback on the roster right now?
No.
Do the Broncos plan on picking in the top 10 in the draft moving forward?
Probably not. No. I mean, they don't plan on it. I don't think anybody plans on it. No.
This still makes sense. It still makes sense.
It doesn't make sense.
Sure it does.
No, it doesn't.
Sure it does. And Baltimore just showed you why a year ago. They did the exact same thing at the end of the first round as John could do at 10th overall.
At the end of the first round.
At the end of the first round.
Not at 10. At the end.
No. Yes. At 10.
No, the Broncos. I mean, I'm talking about the Ravens last year.
Yes.
They did it at the end. They
didn't do
it at 10.
Yes. I'm saying.
That was their second round. That was their second first round pick.
Okay.
And if John wants to do that, okay, do that. But not at 10.
But Haskins isn't going to be there at 10.
Well, find somebody else.
At the end of the first round.
Find somebody else. Wait.
Look, this is...
Why does it make sense, though? Why?
This is not crazy talk. Because
it is crazy
No, it's
talk.
Not, because the Broncos still need... And unless Joe Flacco does something that we just haven't seen done, and, you know, after a decade, plays another decade for a separate team and proves that he is what John said he was in his prime. But I don't think anyone is fully, like, endorsing that with their own blood.
We should have just kept Keenum.
Well, maybe
just
so.
Keenum
maybe
then.
So. Maybe so.
That's what you should have done. Like, if that was your plan, hey, we're going to look at getting a quarterback in the draft probably, then you know what? Then why did you go through this whole thing with Joe Flacco? It doesn't add up, Zach. That would mean 1 + 1 = 3. It thing would not add up to me. I can't get myself to go there to where it adds up to Broncos taking quarterback at 10. It doesn't add up. They have to take the best possible player.
What about it doesn't add
quarterback.
Up? What about it doesn't add up?
They're trying to win now. John Elway does not want to take a quarterback at 10 and miss again. He wants to take a positional player that's going to help this year get this team back on track. That's why they traded for Joe Flacco, so he doesn't have to take that quarterback at 10. That adds up to me. Doesn't add up. You trade for Flacco and you take a quarterback at 10. Why do we even trade for Flacco? What are we doing? Like that doesn't that tells me we have no plan. That doesn't add up to me. That is like lack of organizational plan at the top from Elway down. That's what it would tell me. That there is no plan over there with John Elway. He's just like flying by the seat of his pants if they take a quarterback at 10. That's what it tells me. And it doesn't tell you that?
No.
What does it tell you?
It tells me that Joe Flacco is going to play here for a year, and I hope he holds down the fort and we can be competitive and give our guy our next 15-year quarterback.
So we're going to play him for a year then? We're going to let this guy sit?
Maybe so.
Okay.
I mean, he's on the roster, so you're probably not going to like cut him before he ever gets started. But if this did happen, and 12 years in the future, we looked back at it, it would make more sense retroactively than it does now, because I think we're being obsessive on this next season. And what if John, for maybe the first time in a while, is taking the long view? And what if he's saying, man, Dwayne Haskins has the goods. I just watched him throw 54 touchdowns to 9 interceptions and complete 70% of his passes, and we got other backup plans, but if he's there, we're taking him. Because I'm just as worried about 2024.
Better not swing and miss. Better not swing and miss. That's all I got to say. If you hit it, look, I'll be the first one to say, unbelievable pick, great job, brilliant, all those things. You swing and miss on this one, night-night.
And I hear you. And so
I'm not disagreeing
with that.
I can't get myself to go there, Zach. You're not going to do what you did to me last week. You made me go from that 2% to 20%. You Mike Evans me. Not this time. It ain't happening. He's not taking quarterback at 10. Period. End of story.
And I'm not saying that doesn't make sense either. But I'm saying there is a reason why guys like Todd McShay and Peter King are putting this out there.
Because
to a certain measurement, it does make sense. Because they wouldn't be doing it if it didn't make any sense. They're not dumb. It makes some semblance
of sense. They definitely know what they're talking about. I just don't. Maybe they're just not in tune like some people around here.
And maybe not. And by the way.
With the pulse of what's going
sure,
on here.
Sure.
Right?
I'm not saying this is what I think John's going to do. I don't think he's picking a quarterback at 10. But there's a reason. There's some framework that does make sense. That's why we're still seeing it a week before the draft.
Are they taking the Charlie Casserly approach?
Maybe so.
I don't know what I did. I just put whoever was best available and needs, and I just put them down. They're like, Charlie, oh, really?
Oh,
don't admit that.
Remember that last year?
How could I forget?
Right, you can't. Charlie,
we had him on as a guest. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe he was saying it.
Charlie, why'd you put that guy for the Broncos? They needed it, and best player available, I just threw him on there for him.
Join us next week on Wednesday, April 24th at 1 p.m. for our Fan War Room.
Fan War Room, baby. Can't wait for that.
It's a draft special. Yep. Food will be provided by our friends at Brothers Barbecue. So be the fourth caller right now to win a pair of VIP tickets.
I can't wait to day before the draft.
Day before the draft starts on Thursday. This is Wednesday, the 24th. It's going to be awesome. And you can be there live in studio here or be a studio guest. Be the fourth caller now at 303-713-1043. And join us live. It is going to be one for the ages. All right, it's that time of day. Stokely stoked up. We're getting hyped next.
What's Brandon Stokely?
Yeah, I'm so stoked.
Stoked up about today.
Nuggets game 2 tonight. And guess what? I'm going. And can't wait. I've never been to a playoff basketball game. And tonight's the night. Game 1, look, it was a bummer. And tonight is a must win. Can't go down 0-2 at home and expect to win the series. I think the Nuggets will come out on a mission. Just like the Avs did last night, and wipe the floor with the Spurs. I'm talking about a double-digit win tonight. Let's go, Nuggets! And, Zach, that's what I'm stoked up about.
Brandon Stokely's stoked up.
That's what I'm talking about! So you're going to be in the building?
I'm going to be in the building with my man Jay Marsico and my boy.
Cool.
My boy. We took in 2 playoff games last year, 1 Avs, 1 Rockies. We've never been to a basketball, NBA basketball one, so we will do that tonight. So another little check off the bucket list there. So really looking forward to it. I'm just kind of excited about the environment, the atmosphere, and just playoff basketball. It's always great. Any playoffs, whatever sport, right? It takes it up a whole nother level and never done it before, so excited about that. You're going, right?
I'll be there. And can I just say this?
Say whatever you want, buddy.
The Nuggets crowd tonight needs to take a hard look at what the Pepsi Center looked like last night. Because that crowd for the Avalanche victory, that was just awesome. That crowd is what a playoff crowd is supposed to look like. And it just seems like the Nuggets crowd, in comparison to what we saw last night, it just doesn't stack up. And I'm just trying to keep it 100 here. It just doesn't stack up. There's got to be a sense of urgency. Give these guys a boost. Newsflash. Nuggets lose tonight. Series is over.
Well, newsflash to the Nuggets. How about give them something to get fired up about?
There you go.
Right? You know what I'm saying? Like, the environment should be good before the game. For game 1. Just like it was with the Avs.
Sure.
But what did the Avs do in the first?
They scored three goals in the first period.
Right, dominated, right? What did the Nuggets do in the first? Down five after one.
Yeah.
I mean, and after two, going into halftime, down eight. I mean, come on. So, let's, you know, Nuggets players, coaches, give the fans something to get into it and stay into it.
Right. And Paul Millsap, don't let Derek White put that on your head again.
Ooh.
Gave him that skull candy. Gave him that helmet. Gave him that helmet.
Ooh. Stop. It ain't happening tonight. It ain't happening tonight. Don't worry about it.
All right. Let's check in with Cecil Lammy, who is live from Dove Valley. We know that today was the day that the Broncos started voluntary mini camp. Cecil, what did it look like out there?
What it looked like is, you know, I don't want to go overboard, but Cortland Sutton's on a different level. I know there's no Emmanuel Sanders out there. Sanders was out there during a little bit of stretching, and then he watched the drills that we just watched right here at UCL Training Center. But, I mean, my God, Cortland Sutton didn't drop a single pass. And again, I know it's drills. Don't want to get too excited. But it seems like his conditioning is where it needs to be. It seems like he's in training camp form right now. And we're at the middle of April, so it just makes you wonder, like, what happens if Cortland Sutton, who could have the greatest step of any second-year player, I mean, Philip Lindsay, if he's healthy, you know, he could take a step, but we're not talking 2,000 yards, you know what I mean? We're talking right. Another 1,000-yard season. With Cortland Sutton, it could go right to that 1,000-yard, to 1,200 yards, to be that number one receiver, you know, 6, 7, 8, 10 touchdowns, something like that. And, again, just the first day, but I'm telling you guys, after watching Cortland Sutton all year long, he looks different now. He looks better now.
Well, you know what? I'm thrilled to hear you say this because it was just about a week ago today that I tried to frame the argument that regardless if Emmanuel's healthy or not, Cortland Sutton, I believe, is the number one here. I believe that. He walked in the league and put up over 700 yards and four touchdowns. You talk about a jump from year one to year two with an upgrade at quarterback. Am I talking crazy, or if Emmanuel's healthy, is he still the guy?
No. Cortland Sutton is the number one, and I think it's best for the team if that's what happens right now. And when you look at his numbers from last year, nearly 17 yards per catch, I know some people out there, and you know, you look at your Anthony Millers and you look at your other rookie receivers from last year and say, well, Cortland was a little bit disappointing. That is so far from the truth. What was disappointing was Case Keenum. You know, that was the guy because – here's the thing, and we've said it before about Cortland Sutton. This isn't new, but it needs to be reemphasized. When Cortland Sutton is covered, he's open because there's this thing called the sky that is always there for Sutton to go get the ball from. And when you have Joe Flacco, who the ball just jumps from his arms. I mean, just jumps from his hands. And we knew that, again, you know, there weren't any really surprises today in terms of, like, and really what could we see during drills, right? I totally understand the observations that happened today. But with Flacco, you see that willingness to just let his guy go get it. Throw it up there and let the big man go get it. And you saw that with Cortland Sutton today. You saw Flacco, who wasn't perfect during the media portion of practice, but you saw him want to be perfect. You know, there was some frustration after a high pass to Andy Janovich, those type of things. Like, you see that want to and that drive from Joe Flacco. You see the ball jump from his hands. And you definitely saw Cortland Sutton put on a show today.
Cecil, a question here about a couple injured guys. Philip Lindsay, is he out there doing everything? And we did see Jake Butt out there with what you got to see. Was he running around, moving around, or was he limited? The status of those two.
Oh, man. Guys, if Jake Butt was healthy, I mean, that's a special player. We know that. We knew that at Michigan, and we knew because of the knee injury, that's why he fell to the fifth round. He's wearing a knee brace on his left knee. He was there for warm-ups. He did a little bit of lateral stuff, not much. But just the explosion that he had, even coming back, doing lateral movement, was much better than Jeff Hyrman and much better than Troy Fumagalli. Fumagalli looks really small compared to the other guys. You see his lower body small, upper body small. He still has vacuum hands. I mean, the guy will catch anything, but he just looks really tiny when compared to Hyrman or to Jake Butt. So with Butt out there, didn't participate in the drills, did a little bit of stretching, a little bit of the warm-up. Emmanuel Sanders was out there as well, did hardly anything, and then watched. And then Philip Lindsay, I didn't see him during the stretching part. And then, you know, about halfway through the whole procedure here, Philip Lindsay walked down on the field still wearing that brace on his wrist. you know, there's a real question mark as to whether or not he'll get any work in this offseason, or if we're just simply waiting until training camp for Phillip Lindsay to get back out there.
Cecil Lammy joining us live from Dove Valley as he has taken in voluntary minicamp. Vic Fangio, this is the first time that he has done this as the head coach. Early impressions, and again, if you don't have anything, that's fine. But I'm just curious, like, what this looked like for Vic.
Yeah, and what's cool is, and you guys know this from, you know, interviewing him, and that's an astute observation, accurate observation, whatever he told you, Zach. Like, it's just him. Like, the greatest thing about Vic Fangio and being around him and the staff now a couple of times, one was at the local pro day, and then today, is that he's just him. He's just being real. He's not trying to pretend to be a head coach. You know, it's not like he's out there, I've got, I need to be over here, I need to do this. Like, he's going with the defense. He's checking on the offense. You saw Rich Scangarello really kind of, you know, run the show offensively, at least today in these individual drills out here at minicamp. So with Fangio, I like that it's that authenticity. He's not going to change. He's not going to pretend. He's not going to think, well, now I'm a head coach, now I have to be, like, different or something. He's going to do all the requirements of a head coach, but he's also going to be himself. And that's what we saw today. Just, again, no nonsense, lots of love, lots of individual teaching with his players. I think, and I've seen Broncos practice since Mike Shanahan was a coach. So I've seen several incarnations of practices here at Dove Valley. This feels more like a Shanahan-Kubiak vibe because of the coaching, because of the one-on-one, the individual aspect, taking time, talking to guys, telling them why they did a drill, you know, the right way or the wrong way. That's what it seems like Fangio is going to be.
See, so what was practice like? Was it a lot of individual stuff? What was the intensity like? Was it more teaching? Was it more up-tempo? What was practice like today?
Yeah, lots of teaching, Stokes. So, you know, lots of teachable moments out there as they're just, you know, beginning the install and just trying to get used to each other out here. So it was kind of maybe a slower pace. It's not like we saw a scrimmage or anything like that, but we saw a lot of individual drills. And again, the two standouts for me, Flacco because of that arm, which we knew about, and then, of course, Courtland Sutton. Royce Freeman also did catch the ball pretty well. There was one high one that got away from him, but that's something we need to see more. This is a big opportunity for Royce Freeman without Phillip Lindsay, you know, maybe until training camp. So Freeman's got to make sure to not let any passes hit the ground, not just one, but zero passes hit the ground. We'll see if he can continue to improve that.
Cecil Lammy, live from Dove Valley, took in a voluntary minicamp. We appreciate you checking in and sort of being our eyes this afternoon. And I think we're going to – are we going to hear from any Broncos or coaches?
Yes. Yeah, today at 3:30, it should be Vic Fangio and Joe Flacco. So the most interesting question that I have prepared for Joe is, like, what would you think if the Broncos took a quarterback in the first round? Which I don't think the Broncos will do, but I want to know how Flacco would respond
to that. I like it, Cecil. I like it.
Love it. Love it. Absolutely love it. Cecil, we appreciate you. And
ask him when he's coming on my radio show, too, by the way.
I'll do that, Stoke.
Goodness.
All right, Cecil. Appreciate you. Talk to you tomorrow.
Former teammates just forget that, you know, you exist anymore.
Well, you got
who this? New phone. Like, hey, you don't remember me, Stoke? Maybe teammates ping pong together, huh?
You got the shout out in the intro.
I know. Got the shout out there, but I mean, you swear when you want to get them on your radio show, they, you know, they forget about you. Unbelievable.
Well, we'll figure that out at a certain point in time.
Yeah,
we'll figure that out. Yeah. We will get Joe on here. But I love that question from Cecil.
Yeah. No, it's a great question.
Say, hey, you know, where is your head at if what Peter King says comes to fruition, if Todd McShay says comes to fruition.
And that's the thing, and that's what also I go back to, is John has to realize how is that going to affect Joe Flacco, the guy that you just, you know, brought here for to be your starting quarterback, and you gave up a fourth round pick for. How is that going to affect him? And I know a lot of people will say it doesn't matter. He's making a lot of money. Don't worry about that. He's got to go out there and honor his contract. And I'm just telling you. As an executive, as a GM, you have to take that in consideration. How is that going to affect the guy that is going to be that you want to be your starting quarterback that you just traded for? You know, because things could turn sour really quickly if you went that route, and you have to be prepared for that.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think John gave Joe Flacco an assurance? that he was not going to take a quarterback at 10. Now, this wasn't a free agent signing. This was a trade.
Right.
So I think that's important, too. But,
sure.
But after he got here and they're talking, do you think that was communicated at all? Or is that just sort of off limits?
No.
No.
I don't think so. That's not something that you... Because you just don't ever know how things will shake out. You don't know who's going to be available. You don't know what's going to happen on draft day. So you never want to tell a player, like, don't worry about it. I'm not going to take a quarterback. Unless you are 1,000% sure. Because you just don't know how things are going to turn out. And so, you know what? Hey, I got to do what I got to do. You know, John Elway. He's got to do what he's got to do to pick the best possible player for the Denver Broncos. And if that's a quarterback, that's a quarterback. You know, what if a guy's there that he didn't think was going to be there and he just can't pass on that guy?
And which guy would that be?
No clue. I don't think he likes any of the guys that much. And I think that's why he made this move to get Flacco. I don't think he has any want to go get a quarterback in the first round early. I think he's trying to avoid that at all costs. That's why he's making these free agent moves. That's why he brought Keenum in. That's why he brought Flacco in. He doesn't want to touch a first-round quarterback right now. He wants to win now. He wants to build this football team. He wants to add a Devin White, a TJ Hockenson, an offensive lineman, trade back, add more pieces, and hopefully strike lightning in a bottle with Joe Flacco where he plays at a high level, and all these other players are great, and now you got the makeup of a good football team. But you swing and miss at 10... Game over.
What if? I mean,
right?
Lord.
And I think he's trying to avoid that, which I don't mind.
Yeah.
And then probably try to strike it rich in the second or third round and maybe be, you know, Lucky John again. And be one of those guys that gets a Russell Wilson or finds that type of quarterback. But to do it at 10, especially this year after making the move for Flacco, trading a pick for him, not happening.
Yeah, and I want to make something clear. I don't think it's happening either. And I don't know if it should or shouldn't happen because we don't know which one of these quarterbacks is going to be great or which ones are going to fall on their face and not even be in the league in a couple years. Because I saw some folks on the RamosLaw.com text line saying, you know, what's my obsession with Dwayne Haskins? I have no obsession with Dwayne Haskins at all. But I'm telling you, a guy in the know,
right.
Peter King's still saying, don't be shocked if he slips, John will take him. Apparently they had a great meeting last week. I'm sure you heard that Haskins showed up in a John Elway jersey.
And the seven on.
Was focused and intense and apparently just like knocked the interview out of the park. Again, I'm just sort of speculating, like, why do these guys who are in the know still this late in the game, knowing what we know and how John's operated this offseason,
right,
still have them doing this? It doesn't seem to make much sense, but then I just want to alter my thinking a little bit. Like, wait a second. Does it make sense? Is Joe Flacco a 10-year guy? And if he's not and you're picking at 10 and you don't plan to pick at 10 moving forward, does it actually make more sense than we're making it out to be? And so I was just trying to frame that. I wasn't banging the table for Dwayne Haskins.
No, yeah. Yep, I got that. And you made some valid points. And you see these guys having the Broncos taking a quarterback. It's like, why? Don't they know what's happened here? Don't they know what's going on? Can't they see the big picture of John saying, no, I'm not doing it. I don't want to touch a quarterback at 10.
We just got some news that was put in my ear from Steven. And this is from Field Yates of ESPN 120 seconds ago. Source, the Patriots are signing longtime Broncos wide receiver Demaryius Thomas.
Awesome. Good for him. Good for him. I'm glad that he's going to get an opportunity with a good organization, a good football team. He's obviously rehabbing from an Achilles injury, so it's nice that he's going to have a place to do that at. I know when I was coming back from an Achilles,
it was nice to be in the building here. I signed here, just like Demaryius is doing. I signed here with Denver, and I had a chance to be in that building throughout the whole offseason, rehab, get to know my teammates, know the playbook. So when training camp started, I was ready to rock and roll. So that's a big deal for DT to be able to get signed right now and be able to get in the building and do those types of things and get comfortable with that offense and what's going on there to have a chance to continue to play. And so I'm hoping that, he still has some good football left in him. Whether he does or not, not sure what he'll look like after this Achilles. But this gives him the best opportunity
right
to get on the field in 2019. I don't even care. I hate the Patriots. You know, everybody knows that. But good for DT. I hope he goes out there and has a great year with the Patriots this year.
Because
that's my guy.
Yeah.
You know, that's my guy. And hopefully everybody else over there stinks. How about that?
Well, it's funny you said it's the best opportunity. If you are going to look around the league just with a blank slate, without any knowledge of the Patriots' interest, and you were going to say, hey, where could you go that he could thrive? Patriots would probably be one of the two or three.
Who are the receivers? Edelman? I mean, Hogan's gone, right? He's gone, or he was a free agent. I mean, who do they have? You know, Dorsett? Philip Dorsett? So there's an opportunity there also with their depth chart.
Sure. Interesting. Well,
good for DT.
Yeah, good for DT. Good for DT. Signing with the New England Patriots. All right. Maybe we can talk a little bit more about that tomorrow. Earlier today, I said Bradley Chubb. I'm expecting Bradley Chubb to be...
Say MVP of the league?
I did not say that. But I expect him, you can call me crazy, to be among the best defensive players in football. And let me just say it, the best defensive player in football a year from now.
I like it. I'm not giving you any pushback. I'm not calling you crazy. Some people tried you last year, and you put them in check when you said Bradley Chubb will have a double-digit sack season, and he did that. So I think you and Bradley Chubb are like in tune. So when you call it with Bradley Chubb, he delivers for you. So I'm not doubting you in this situation. And you gave a lot of great stats and to back it up. So why not?
It was just quickly, it was a three-pronged, not an argument, proposal that Bradley Chubb was picked at 5 overall to be a generational talent. He's bigger and longer than a guy like Khalil Mack, but ran an equal 40 time despite weighing 20 pounds more. He walked in the league, started all 16 games, had 12 sacks, 21 quarterback hits, 2 forced fumbles. All those are better than a guy like Khalil Mack's rookie season. He was just a beast. And now you're going to tell me he's playing opposite of Vaughn in year 2 with Vic Fangio as the head coach? My expectations for Bradley Chubb, I think, are appropriate, and they're right where they should be.
I like it.
And I know some folks say, oh, you're assuming he's going to be better than Aaron Donald. You sound like an idiot. Well, let's see. This kid is special. And by the way, he loves football. And all offseason, we heard from James Palmer that wasn't asked to study Khalil Mack. He did it on his own. So you're telling me he's got the physical gifts? He's already shown you what he can do in his first 16 games as a pro, and he's got the yearning to get better.
Yearning? Look at you.
I think that Bradley Chubb, and I know you said I'm not going here with you, but you mix in upgrade at quarterback and offense and ideally playing with a more lead. Why can't Bradley Chubb go have 16 sacks this year?
Why not?
And why be not the NFL Defensive Player of the Year? And let me go a step further. Bradley Chubb's going to be the NFL Defensive Player of the Year.
There you go. I mean, you said he's going to be the best defensive player this year. I mean, go ahead and win it. Defensive Player of the Year, right?
Go win it.
That's it. I like it. Nuggets tonight. Prediction.
107-99 Nuggets.
I got the Nuggets winning by double digits, over 10 points. Make up whatever score you want. I really don't care. Blow out city.
Love it.
Rockies, do they win 3 in a row?
They do, and they win 5-2.
5-2. I got the Rockies actually scoring 7 tonight. Bats continue to get better and better.
From 4 to 5 to 7.
Right, how about that?
3 nights in a row.
I know. Crazy talk, I know, but I'm going to go out on a limb. 7-2-4.
Looking at you, John Gray.
Look, step up, baby. We need you.
Step up season. We'll both be down at the Pepsi Center tonight rooting on the Nuggets.
That's right.
Like crazy. Cannot wait for that. All right, hang tight. The Drive's coming up next.
Screw you, KG.